actually, at the end of the service, I'm going to call up the children. And we got Easter baskets for the children. And we got grocery bags for the family as you're leaving. How many know we're going to make this Easter a powerful, blessing, loving Easter? Amen? And I just want to thank all of you here today for giving the baskets and all that good stuff. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to share a message this morning on two individuals. Actually, I should say three. I'm going to speak about Mary Magdalene and Peter. And you'll see how I'm going to go and where I'm going to go with this message. And I want you to just stand with me. I want to read a scripture with you just real quick. Just read a scripture with you. Stand with me for the reading of God's word. Now, understand this. On Friday, Jesus was crucified. Saturday, all kinds of demons were rejoicing, but Sunday was coming. Amen? And on Sunday, there was an individual who came to the tomb first. And how many know that it was Mary of Magdalene? Let's give a good shout out for the ladies in the house. Come on, women. Amen. The men didn't have the patience, Pastor. Or they got lost because they didn't ask for directions. Come on. So what took place in this scene, I'm going to share in just a moment. But I just want to pray as I share these scriptures with you in just a few minutes. But Lord, I thank you for this word, and I ask that you minister in our hearts and our souls this message that we are all going to be able to relate to. And I pray that you would endue us with power of the Holy Ghost and fill us with your love. Fill us with your resurrection power in Jesus' name. Come on, give him a big shout. Don't sit. Don't sit. Here's the title of my message. Check it out. I have two titles. Here it is. All right. Let the King do his thing. Can you say that with me? Now, some of you might need to put on your bifocals to read the bottom part because it says, the King has another move. Can you say that with me? The King has another move. Can you tell your neighbor, let the King do his thing? Amen. Go ahead and you may be seated. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So yesterday we had an incredible time. And actually it was Thursday. It was yesterday. That's right. We went to Home Depot. Friday. Man, days have been going. And you'll understand why. And so we had an outreach at Home Depot. And we've been going there for many, many years. Pastor Lennon and myself and Juan and Lisa, we came here. We packed a whole bunch of bags. We gave out about 25. We got 25 grocery bags. And we loaded up the minibus, and we filled it up with some more Easter baskets, and we went to Home Depot right behind us. And over there, there's men that wait for people to come, and they're workers, and they help contractors and so on. And I have used them in building, and I've done carpentry over the years. I'm building an extension at my home, and we've even used them to help us out here. So we went there and we gathered them together before we gave out the baskets and food, and we shared a message on Good Friday. Amen? And it was so awesome because myself and Pastor Lennon, we were preaching together, and we told them that it's Friday and Jesus was crucified. Amen? He had thorns on his head. He was whipped. He was shredded and nailed to the cross. But Sunday's coming. Amen. And as we were preaching this message, we had an interpreter preaching with us. His name is X. I know him for a long time, Xavier. And he was getting into it, and we were getting into it. And all of the men were getting into it. I think they were saying Domingo. Is that Sunday, Domingo? And so as I was going, it's Friday, but they were going, Domingo is coming. Come on, somebody. It was Friday, but Sunday is here. Come on. They nailed him to a cross, but on the third day, he rose again. Give him a big shout. Thank you, Frank. I forgot. I heard some music back there. Amen. Thank you. You're good. You're good. Hey, man, look at Frank with his white suit. Come on. Thank you, Frank. Hallelujah. Story that goes on here that on Friday, Jesus was crucified. But we see something powerful that took place. Don't miss this, because my text is really John chapter 20. After he was crucified, Jesus was put in the tomb. You know the story. It said, but in verse 11, it says, but Mary stood outside the tomb weeping as she wept. She stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they laid him. Watch this. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Don't miss this, because we're going to really bring this home in a minute. They didn't know it was Jesus. She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away. Let me pause for a moment. Because on verse 14 it says, now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, can you say woman? So he calls her woman. Watch this. And he says, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She's supposing him the gardener. She said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away. Then check out verse 16. It says this, and Jesus said to her, Mary. Can you say Mary? Now I'm going to bring that home in a minute. Hold on to that thought, because it's such a powerful thought. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which means to say teacher. And Jesus said to her, do not cling. She knew it was Jesus. Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but I go to my brethren, and say to them, I am sending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Hallelujah. Now, how many here know we're going to make the devil pay for it? Amen? I'll tell you what, on Friday, he was crucified. All the demons were shouting, we got this, we got the victory, come on somebody. But on Sunday, Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. Amen? Jesus made the devil pay for it. I'm reminded of this story of this grandma, this elderly woman. She was outside of her house and she lived alone, and every morning she'd go down and she says, thank you, Jesus, I love you. Praise the Lord for this beautiful day. And she went on and on, and all of a sudden this atheist moved in next door. The house was empty. And so as the atheist moved in next door, he would come and have to get up at the crack of dawn in the morning, just exactly how same time as the grandma would get out preaching. He'd have to endure this preaching. Finally got comfortable. And after she'd say, thank you, Jesus, I love you, Lord. And she would say, you know, bless this day. He would yell and say, Jesus is dead and there is no God, and walk away all angry. How many here know that atheists are angry people, I think? Because I think they're spiritually constipated. You know what I mean? I think they got it all held up. I just don't believe in atheists. So anyway, this went on and on. This went on and on. And finally, the elderly woman comes out one morning and says, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. And Lord, I need groceries. Would you provide for me this day? So the atheist gets out and he says, Jesus is dead. There is no God. And he goes off to work with a smile. Why? Because he had a plan. He goes and he buys all kinds of groceries, and he gets about 6 bags, and he wakes up early in the morning, puts them in front of Grandma's house, and Grandma wakes up in the morning, and she looks at the groceries, and she says, "Lord Jesus, thank you. You're so awesome, and thank you for providing these groceries for me this day." To which the atheist said, "Jesus is dead, there is no God, and I provided those groceries for you." To which she said, "Thank you, Lord, and thank you, Jesus, for providing these groceries for me this day and making the devil pay for it." Come on, somebody. Are you ready to make the devil pay for it? Amen. God has a resurrection plan for all of us here this morning. And as we look deep into the journey of the resurrection in the book of John, we will observe the most powerful story in human history. We will see the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how God used a bunch of nobodies who met Jesus and they became somebodies who told everybody about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. These men and women were those whom Nero and the governors called them, those who turned the world upside down. Come on, those simple nobodies became somebody and told everybody about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to shout and get out in those streets and preach. Tell your neighbor, preach it. So why? Why? How did they become? Why? Because they had the power of Jesus Christ. Why were they labeled this? Can I give you another reason why they were called, "These are those who turned the world upside down"? Why did they call these simple disciples that? Why? Because they let the King do his thing. Amen? And when you let the King do his thing, I want to tell you, miracles follow. Hallelujah. Now, hundreds and thousands of books have been written about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, every year, hundreds of millions of Bibles are sold. Always the bestseller. It's always the bestseller. The Bible is always the best-selling book in history. And the resurrection story of Jesus Christ cannot be contained in books or computer chips, no matter how many megabytes you have. Do you hear me, all you computer geeks? Now, check this out. The final verse in the last chapter in the book of John, chapter 21, verse 25, God's word says this. Listen to this. "And there are also so many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Come on, amen? How powerful is that? You know, David Stevens had it right in 1962 when he produced the first major motion picture in Hollywood about Jesus. He named it "The Greatest Story Ever Told." Hallelujah. You see, folks, I want to tell you this. You know, think about "The Greatest Story Ever Told." There's no other great story that's ever been told. I mean, listen, we know there's a World Series. So what? After the game, it's just a game. Amen? We know that there's the Super Bowl. Amen? But can I tell you, today is the Super Bowl of Christianity? Come on, there ain't no greater Super Bowl than today. Can I tell you, even the NBA, however, we're praying for the Knicks. Come on, amen? They won yesterday, just a footnote. However, even if the Knicks win the NBA champion, it's just a game. But 2,025 years ago, they looked in the tomb. Mary found the tomb was empty. Hallelujah. You see, folks, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important event. Don't miss this in the Bible. If anybody asks you that quiz, what's the most important event in the Bible? It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to which you may say it's the virgin birth of Christ. Well, we know that's one of the most important, but realistically, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why do I say that? Because without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christianity is just another religion. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 13 and 14, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and our faith is empty. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christmas is just a birthday party for a cute homeless baby. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago of time, think about that. Just think about this. We'd have to reverse time. It wouldn't be B.C. and A.D. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Easter is just a celebration day for a good preacher and a wise man who died. But I've got good news for you. The tomb is empty. Every religion that exists today, the founders are dead and buried. Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. Krishna is dead. But over 2,000 years ago, Jesus rose and he's alive. I love this song. Pastor, you'll know this. I'm not trying to show your age. I'll show mine. I love this song that I was raised in by my early days of Teen Challenge and even Bible school, written by Alfred Hackley in the 1800s, titled He Lives. You remember this song? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hands of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. Help me. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me. A long life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to Him. Oh, come on! It ain't finished yet. You ask me how I know He lives. Help me, all you mature veterans. He lives within my heart. Give Him a big shout. Now, last week you found out I was a poet and didn't know it. This week I try to be a singer and I don't know it either. Anyway, thank you for your help. This morning, let me just share something that's special to all of us. You know, as we look into the journey of the resurrection, I want to look in three areas of our lives that we need to allow the King to do His thing. Amen? The resurrection of your soul, the resurrection of your family, and the resurrection of your destiny. Now, the first area in your lives that we need to allow the King to do His thing is, number one, the resurrection of your soul. Watch this. In our text, John chapter 20, I want to focus on Peter and Mary Magdalene's actions and reactions in the resurrection encounter. Now, they both needed some serious soul restoration. Both Peter and Mary Magdalene had many issues in their soul. Excuse me. Now, let me define the soul. How many here know that it's pretty simple, but it's deep to define the soul? What is the soul? Well, the soul is made up of three parts: the mind, will, and emotions. Let me say it again. You're separate, your spirit is separate from your soul. I'll explain that a little more. But your soul is made up of your mind, will, and emotions. The battleground in your mind and your reactions manifest through the battleground in your mind, through your emotions and your will. Now, positionally, spiritually, we're perfect in Christ. Positionally. When you're born again, you're a saint seated at the right hand of the Father. You know, I'm born again. It doesn't matter how long I am. I'm genuinely born again. And Pastor is genuinely born again. He saved many more years than I have been saved. I'm really revealing his age because I've been saved since I was 12 years old. And I'm 45 years saved. So, no, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I got saved at 20. What am I getting at? Position. I'm not. He's not greater saved than I am. Ladies, when you're pregnant, you are. You're not half pregnant. However, in this day we live in, my gosh, that's like a dangerous question. But anyway, so positionally, you're spiritually perfect, but conditionally, you're being perfected. Conditionally, in your soul, you're being perfected. It's called the process of sanctification. Now, Peter needed the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. He was a hardcore fisherman. You know how fishermen are. This is hardcore. They had a mouth as a truck driver. However, back then they would say, you got a mouth like a fisherman, you know? So he was a hardcore fisherman. His characters are defined in all the gospels. He was hard-headed, impulsive, anxious, and overzealous. Think about this. Jesus rebuked Peter. He called him Satan. Amen? Now, Pastor, when you call someone Satan, they shouldn't get offended. Ooh, ouch. Jesus called Peter Satan. He didn't walk away and say, I'm offended. I'm leaving the church, Pastor. That's a whole nother message. Let me get back here. Anyway, so are you with me? Peter gets rebuked by God the Father on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus is arrested and Peter follows at a distance. Peter denies Christ 3 times. Peter is the only one in the Bible, listen to this, true, that is rebuked by the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So even before Christ and after Christ, Peter needed Jesus. Are you with me? Turn to your neighbor. So do we. Say, so do we. Note this. Jesus knew that although Peter was a hard-headed, impulsive, anxious, and overzealous, Jesus saw the potential to be one of the greatest leaders in the New Testament history. Come on, somebody. When Jesus looks at you, he sees the same thing. When Jesus looks at you, he sees what a great woman of God you are. When Jesus looks at you, he sees what great of a man of God you are. He has blessed you with gifts, and I want to tell you, your gift ain't greater than my gift, and my gift ain't greater than your gift, but I want to tell you, you have a divine gift for the kingdom of God, so it's time to use it or lose it. Amen. Jesus saw that potential. Now, let me point out some things we've seen happen about Peter here in our text. When Mary shared with Peter that the tomb was empty, John chapter 20, verses 4 to 6 says, they both ran together. Are you with me? They both ran together. It says they both ran together, and the other disciples outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he stooping down and looking and saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there. Pause for a moment. Now, if you know Peter, as I know Peter, he's usually the first. Are you hearing me? If there's anybody that knows how to front slide, it's Peter. Are you hearing me? And so why is this emphasized? There's a reason why this is emphasized in the Bible. And why did Peter get outrun? I believe it was because Peter's soul, it was weighed down with the guilt and the shame and the doubt because of his denial. And this hindered Peter from understanding the scripture. Verse 9 says, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their homes. Now, note this. Don't miss this. Distorted emotions distorts your perspective, and it magnifies the past, and it distorts the present, and it hides your future. I need to say that again. I don't know if that's in there. Listen, distorted emotions, this is Peter. Distorted emotion distorts your perspective, it magnifies the past, it distorts your present, and it hides the future. See, Peter needed the resurrection of his soul. Peter needed to let the king do his thing. And now we look into Mary Magdalene. Can we just peek into Mary Magdalene's life? Check her out. The Bible tells us she had 7 demons. Someone say, that's a whole lot of demons. Amen, it is. Mark 16, 9. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, whom he had cast 7 demons. Are you hearing me? This girl was a sinner. This woman was a sinner. We know that because in my message, Broken to Serve, we emphasize that. She's the one who came into the house, right, where Jesus was with the Pharisees. Luke 8, 2 says, and a certain woman who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons. So before she was delivered, she was a deranged woman with disheveled hair. Think of this. Glaring dark eyes, disturbed disposition, sunken in cheeks, crunched over, known as a demon-possessed woman of Magdala. But listen, the effects of these demons had to destroy her mind, will, and emotion, her soul. There's a however. Someone say however. She met the resurrection king, and the resurrection power, Jesus Christ, saved and healed her soul. Come on, somebody. That's what we need. Here's a powerful truth. You ready for this? God formed us. Sin deformed us. But Jesus' resurrection transformed us. Amen? Let me say it again. Listen to what it says. God formed us, sin disformed us, but Jesus transformed us. Now we see something different in Mary's actions that we've seen in Peter's. Verse 10 says that the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stopped down and looked into the tomb. Note this. Mary waited. But Mary basically said, I'm not leaving until I find my Jesus. How many know what I'm talking about? We need to learn how to pray for that. Amen? My mother prayed for me. My mother was not going to let Jesus go until she healed our family. And guess what? Jesus healed our family. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. What we see here is the power of a made-up mind. Mary had her mind made up, her heart was fixed, and she was going with Jesus all the way. Mary once lived in a hardcore, sinful life. She battled with 7 demons. Hallelujah. And I did the same. I battled with many demons. The demons of alcohol, the demons of drugs, the demon of money, the demon of hustling, the demon of manipulation, the demons of everything. I was convinced that nothing can change my life until I met Jesus. He radically transformed this sinner into a preaching saint. Amen? Hallelujah. Why? Because I let the king do his thing, because the king has another move. So that was the first area. Let me just get through this quickly, because that was the resurrection power of our soul. And we're going to pray for that, all of us here. The second area, and don't miss this, in our lives where we have to allow the king to do his thing, is the resurrection of your family. I was working on this late last night. And I wanted to look us deep. Now, don't miss this, into this scene. John chapter 20, go home, read it again, verses, the whole chapter. I want to show you how this encounter at the tomb relates to the resurrection of your family. Watch this. And I kind of referred to it at the beginning, but in our text, John chapter 20, verse 11, but Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stood down and looked into the tomb, verse 12, and she saw 2 angels in white sitting there, one at the head of the, and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? There's that woman again. She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord. I don't know where they laid him. And now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. In verse 15, we said this, I shared this in our text in the beginning. Verse 15, Jesus said to her, woman, can you say woman? Now watch. Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And she, supposing to be a gardener, said, sir, if you've carried him, talking about Jesus, away, tell me where you have laid him. And I will take him away. Mary was going to take care of Jesus. How awesome is that? Are you hearing me? Now don't miss this. In just one verse before, Jesus called her woman. Then in verse 16, watch what he calls her. And Jesus said to her, Mary. Mary. And she turned and she said, Rabboni. I believe Jesus was determined not to reveal himself because he's not yet ascended to the Father. But when Mary said this, tell me where you've laid him, I'll take care of him. This moved Jesus to call out her name and reveal not only himself, but his love for her. Hallelujah. Why couldn't Jesus hold himself back? Because Mary was family. Are you hearing me? Mary was family. Hallelujah. Think about it. Look at this beautiful little girl. Look at this. What's your name, honey?
Kimberly.
Kimberly? Kimberly, how old are you?
10.
She's 10. What's your name? Yeah. What's your name? Alex. My man Alex. My father's name is Alex. How old are you? 12? 13. Almost got it. Prophecy is not my... I'm kidding. Anyway, so you're 13. Now, when you mess up, don't you feel bad? Do you get a good beating from mom? I'm only kidding. You feel bad, right? But know this. When you mess up, you just pray to Jesus. And you know what Jesus says? He'll go, Alex. I love you, Alex. We got this. Are you hearing me? Are you understanding this?
when we see this, where he calls Mary, it's we're family. Turn to your neighbor, say we're family. How many here, you could be in another country, you don't know the language, but when you are born again, you're a Christian, you know instantly you're family. Tell your neighbor, if it's a brother or sister, you're my brother, you're my sister. Come on, we are family. Hallelujah. And that's what was happening here. Listen, it was this Mary who broke into the Pharisees. Remember, I shared that. She had 7 demons, but they were free. She said to Jesus, tell me where I will take care of them. He said, oh, Mary, couldn't hold back. He said, Mary, hallelujah. I'm sure her family was rescued as well. Amen. Now, as I said, I had many demons in my family, but I was only the youngest of 9. So all of my other brothers and sisters had a whole lot of demons too. So let's say I had about 10 of them. Times that by 9. That's quite a few demons we're messing around with at the Jack's house. Amen? We had a whole lot of multitudes of demons. Listen, some families have Kodak moments. Some family have Prozac moments. My family had straitjacket moments. We did. Let me say it again. Some families have Kodak moments. Some families have Prozac moments. My family had straitjacket moments. But God. Come on, somebody. But God. God saved my whole family. Hallelujah. Just the other day on a Wednesday, Brooklyn Teen Challenge is the first teen challenge that was ever birthed. We're celebrating probably close to 70 years soon. About 7 years ago, me and Don Wilkerson designed the expansion plans to expand 416 Clinton Avenue, where Nikki Cruz worked, where David Wilkerson worked, and where I crawled through the doors and got saved on November 4th, 1984. And I went up there and they asked me to testify, and I testified in the new chapel, and I told them, check this world record out. You talk about saving my family. You talk about a messed up family. In fact, when I was with David Wilkerson, I was just writing my book, and he put a forward in my book, and in the beginning, I didn't finish it. I said, Brother Dave, I have about 30 family members that went through Teen Challenge. He was in my van. I was driving around. He looked at me and he said, boy, you got a messed up family. Now understand this. Brother Dave is a prophet. He is so powerful. When I said, Brother Dave, I have 30 family members that went through your program. You started a teen challenge. I was looking for a hug and a high five and a prophetic word from heaven. And here was the word. Boy, you got a messed up family. Well, I use it in my book. That's chapter 6 of my book. Boy, you got a messed up family. Well, years later, what I told him is what I told them when I preached that Brooklyn Teen Challenge. I testified, rather, Brooklyn Teen Challenge. Do you know that I have, me and Diane and Miriam and our family, our cousins and our nephews, we have 55 family members that went through Teen Challenge. Come on, somebody. Do you understand that that's a miracle? Do you understand that God saves the family? Hallelujah. 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 Do you want to know why we had a ministry fair? Do you want to know why I'm encouraging all of you to get on in ministry and serve? And those of you who filled out the application, I'm calling you and we're meeting with you. Do you know why I have been preaching on vision and leadership? Because we're raising up a ministry team with a ministry heart ready to reach broken families. Come on, somebody. Listen, we're building this church for the resurrection of the lost and broken families. We're building this church for the resurrection of your families. Hallelujah. Yesterday and last night, we were in here praying, fixing the toilet, putting things together. Pastor Pag is encouraging and rooting us on. Hallelujah. Because he's paved the way. He's maintained this building, and he's passing the baton on. Thank God I've got some construction skills. Amen. Anything's broken, Pastor Pag says, Jimmy, can you fix the toilet? I love fixing toilets. It's fun. In fact, we just finally installed that new toilet in the ladies' room. You got 2 beautiful toilets. 1 new one here. It's time to break them in. Anyway, We're building this church for families. Hallelujah. We were walking through the doorways and the hallways, and we're praying and seeking God. Why? Our prayer is, oh God, help us to build this church out of love. Are you with me? Because if it's built out of flesh, it would fade away. If it's built out of self, it will stink and it will sink. If it's built out of feelings, it will falter and fail. But if it's built and it's birthed out of love, it'll be everlasting, and we will prepare for the soon return of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Jump in with us. We want to build media rooms, computer rooms, dance rooms, prayer rooms, after-school programs, mission rooms, all for the people of God to fulfill their calling and to save the family. Oh, come on, somebody. Give them a big shout. Lastly, and I'm bringing it home now. I want to just bring you, remember what we prayed for, the resurrection of your soul. Resurrection of your family, we're going to pray for you. But here's the conclusion. The resurrection of your destiny, which is your purpose. How many here know every demon in hell wants to come against what you're called to do? John chapter 18, watch this. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Mary was not created to carry seven demons. Are you with me? Mary was created to carry the message of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to the world. To the disciples first. Ooh, come on, somebody. Mary was the first to come to see the tomb empty. Mary was the first to see Jesus resurrected, and Mary was the first to spread the good news to the disciples, to which they took it and spread it throughout the world. Do you see Mary's calling? Do you see Mary's destiny? Come on, amen. Did you get that? Mary experienced the resurrection of her destiny and her purpose. I'm preaching it today, 2025 years later. I'm preaching what Mary passed on to us. Are you hearing me? Mary was not created to live in a perverted, hardcore life battling with seven demons. Mary was created to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And can I tell you, every one of you were born and created to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, Ernie, give me a big high five. High five. Ernie is so faithful, man. You're going to be at the chicken wings dinner, aren't you, Ernie? First one at the men's ministry. Come on. He inspires me, right, Pastor? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, how about Peter? Peter was not created to deny Christ. Now watch this. Peter was created to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think about Peter's life. He denied Christ. He had to get rebuked by the Trinity. He was a knucklehead. He was a front slider. And he was even crazier unsaved. But check out Peter. Peter received the power of the resurrection. In fact, Peter received the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter was created to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Watch this. He was the first disciple to walk on water. Come on, somebody. He was the only disciple that remembered to wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost. He was the disciple to usher in the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Peter was the first disciple to preach, rock the block, and lead 5,000 people to Christ on his first crusade. He was the first disciple to heal the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. He was the first disciple that Jesus said he would build his church upon this rock and the gates of hell shall not prevail. He was the disciple who wrote most of the New Testament. How and why was Mary and Peter able to do this? Because they let the King do his thing. Come on up, worship team. Amen. Hallelujah. Give Jesus another clap offering. Someone say, let the King do his thing. Glory to God. Now I want to tell you, every demon in hell is going to tell you you're not worthy. You don't have what Jimmy had, Pastor Jimmy, Pastor Pag has. You don't have what Miss Sister Miriam has. You don't have what this one has. You don't have this. You don't have that. Let me tell you, what you got is valuable and explosive. And every demon in hell is going to try to stop you and hinder you and tell you you're defeated, You're not worthy. You're not able, and you can't. Someone say, I can. I want to tell you, the King has another move. No matter where you're at and what you're facing, the resurrection King has another move. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand with me. I want you to get ready to give God a big shout of victory. You ready? 1896, Thomas Eckens. Some of you don't know Thomas Eckens, but he drew and he painted a famous painting. And this painting is held in Europe in a famous art gallery. Hold on 1 minute with the guitar, just a little bit of piano. And in this art gallery, it's famous. And then this painting, I don't know if we have the picture. Andy, do we have the picture of that painting by chance? We might not have been able to pull it up, but I tried to get the picture. Oh, there it is. Now, that's the painting. It's called Checkmate. Now, I don't have time, but if you look all over it, it looks like darkness all around. And what Thomas Eckens painted in 1896, it's called Checkmate. Look in Satan. That represents Satan, the guy on the left. Look in his hand. He just, I don't know if that's a king or queen, but he just got the king, and he moved in front of humanity. The person on the right represents you and me, humanity. Checkmate literally means that Satan checkmated humanity. Look at the angel. So the story goes on to say there was this group would come, and they would come, and they would see this portrait. And they would visit the gallery. And this particular day, a group of people came to visit this painting. However, in this group was a very famous, famous painter. Not painter, chess player. Famous chess player. And so when he finally got into this room, the guide explained on the wall what this meant. And they were all, wow. Everybody's, wow, wow. And they're like, wow, checkmate. Like the devil got us, And they go into the other room. However, the master chess player stayed in the room and analyzed that board. Kept analyzing the board. Suddenly the group realized, hey, where's the guy? Where's the guy, the chess master? And they start hearing something echoing. Gets louder and louder. And he's yelling, and they start coming to find him. He's yelling, it's a lie! It's a lie! It's a lie! And they come in, and he's all excited. He goes, it's a lie! The king has another move! Come on, somebody! I want to tell you, when the devil says that you can't, the king has another move! Oh, give him a big shout! Hallelujah! Glory to God. I want to pray for you real quick. I want to ask God to touch your soul. How many say you need a soul restoration? You need a resurrection power, Jesus, in your mind, will, and emotions. And you want to stand in the gap for your family. Raise your hand. And you want to fulfill God's destiny in your life. It's Easter Sunday. It's Easter Sunday. This is the day to make a decision to give it up. Someone say, give it up. And give it all to Jesus. If you raise your hand. Come on up here. Just gather up. We're going to give out the gifts in a little while. I want you to just come on, hurry up out of your seats. And we want to pray for every one of you. We want to ask God to bless you. We want to ask God to fill you up. Children, come on up. Come on up. Good job, Alex. Any other children, come on up. Mothers, families, come on up. Amen. Get closer. Come closer so people in behind you can fit. Amen. Come on a little closer so people behind you can fit. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead, worship team. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just relax for a moment. Come just a little closer. People are behind you. Come on. Spread this way. Yeah, come up just a little more. Just a little more. Come on up. Come on up. Others want to come up? Come on up. That's it. Hallelujah. Can you put the title up? Can you put the title of my message up? The last one with the 3 points. With the 3 points. We sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. I want to lead you now. I know there's many of us here that need to give it up and surrender your life to Jesus. Hallelujah. It's Easter Sunday. Well, there's not a greater day to give it up than this day. And here's the lie. Here's a voice from hell you could even be hearing now. I can't give it up. I can't give it up. Now, let me just say this to you. I will agree with you. You can't give it up, but Christ in you can. Christ in you can. And this morning, as I lead, I'm going to pray for salvation. What does that mean? Christ coming in you, the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus. And I want to tell you, we're going to pray for deliverance, that God will deliver us and break the walls of whatever's gripping you. Because you have dreams. You have destiny. You have hope. You have a future. Amen? God's able. God's going to do it. My brother said, I hope he can. He can, brother. And he's going to do it. You just got to believe. Say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me with your blood. With my mouth I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And with my heart I believe that Jesus has risen. And through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed for me and my sins, this day I can proclaim that I am, now get ready to shout, that I am a child of God. Come on, shout it. Give him some praise. Now say this with me as well. Put your hand in your heart. Jesus hears my soul. Heal it. Restore it through the resurrection power. Heal my mind. Heal my thoughts. Heal my emotions. And help me to surrender my will to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Give me a desire for holiness, a hunger for holiness and a hatred for sin. On this day, I lift up my families. I pray, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, by faith
and obedience, I believe, for my family to be saved in Jesus' name. Amen! Pastor Pat, could you come and pray for everyone? And right after Pastor Pat prays, we're going to have you sit and we're going to have the children come up and I'll direct everybody. But hand it back to me right after you pray, Pastor.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this blessed day. Father, we thank you for the blessed hope that we have in your resurrection. For you were raised to eternal life. And we are guaranteed that, Father, that we will live forever with you if we accept your Son. So, Father, I pray you reach down your mighty hand by the power of your Spirit. Let it rest on each and every one of these, Lord. Let every word that was heard take root in their heart, in their soul, in their spirit, that they will turn to you and follow you all the days of their life. Now bless them this day as they spend it with their families, with their friends, Father. May they not forget it's not about bunnies and rabbits, but it's about the risen Savior and Lord of this world. And we give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Could you tell a neighbor we are family? Amen. And you may be seated. If you guys have to go, you can go. But we want the children. Amen. Can we have the children come on up ages like 2 to 12? Come on up. And can I have our helpers to come and help me up here? She can come up here. Yeah, yeah. Come on up here. Let them all come up here. Come on up here, children. All up here. We're going to wait downstairs. Bring your child up. Just bring your children up. Come on up. Moms, if you have to come up with your child, come on up. If you can let them loose, let them loose. Amen. Hallelujah. They are. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Paul, can you tell Children's Church to come on up? Hey, Mark. Mark.
And we'll move this over here.
Keep the mic on. Back it up, kids. Back it up just a little. Back it up. Make the taller kids in the back. The taller kids in the back. Go in the back. Johnny, go back in the back a little bit. Go in the back. Go ahead. A little back. The little kids, come on up here, honey. Come on up here in the front. Come on up. You too. You too. Come on up here. You can come up front. Come on up front. You can come up front. Stand back just a little. Stand back just a little. Just back up just a little. Just back up just a little. Thanks. Back up just a little. Back up just a little. Amen. All right, let's start handing the baskets out. Yeah, just wait for a minute. Yeah. All right, let's. Whoever's working us, help us to hand out the baskets. Help us to hand out the baskets. Come on up, both of you. Hand out the baskets up there. We're going to wait for the baskets. Hold on to your baskets. Remember the color of the basket, boy? If not, get some more helpers over here.